Hallelujah. Beautiful congregation tonight. Glory to God. I've got a lot of scripture, but it all dovetails around one issue. And I've titled it, The Final Word. Guess who has the final word on anything? I mean, we look through natural vision, logic, and we say the doctor gave the final word. I say, oh, no. There's a word that goes beyond the doctor's word, the lawyer's word, all that. The words that he speaks unto us, they are truth and they're life. I don't know how far I'll get, but I feel the burning in my spirit. So we're going to begin with Proverbs chapter number 4. But would God help us to have a better esteem for his word? That which I'm holding my hand on is life. Do you understand that? I mean, I know you do. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they're life and they're truth. God is not, he did not send his word and let it be nullified. He spoke, and the energy of his word has never diminished. It's as alive today as it was the day that he spoke it. Amen. What our adjustment has got to be is how we can embrace these words rather than leave them laying on the page of a book. Unless the Spirit inspires the Word of God, it's nouns and pronouns and adjectives and adverbs all combined together. But if the Spirit unctionizes, breathes upon it, it becomes life. So in Proverbs chapter number 4, you've heard all these verses before, but let's not look at them in a sense of repetition. Let's look at them fresh. Let me ask you a question. I just want to be obedient. Let me ask you a question. If someone called you and asked you for prayer, you're dedicated enough that you want to give them not your verdict, but you want to give them what the Bible says. If someone called you and said that their husband or their child was dying, what right off the top of your head, I'm not going to embarrass you, but right off the top of your head, what verse would you give them? What answer would you respond with? Because it would certainly need to be the Word of God, of course. I'd like to have two or three faith verses from the audience before I go into my reading. I think I'm confusing y'all. What is a faith verse that you can toss out and say we can hang our hat on that? Say it again. Joshua 1:9. All right, Joshua 1:9. That's beautiful. And this is not a test, but do you have a faith verse that you could? I'm sorry. That's God's word. He sent his and healed them. Anyone else? Absolutely. Absolutely. My son, attend to my words. Do you get that? Pay attention to what God says. There's not a one in this building tonight that is not contested to get our mind distracted off of the main thing onto secondary issues. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. That is so powerful. It's unbelievable. It staggers your mind. It's not good advice. It's not an admonition. It's God's exhorting us. All right? Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Where at in your heart? The center. God ought to be the Lord and chief of all things. Now, if I've got the word in the midst of my heart, and I'm meditating upon it, it should produce something in my mind. Hello? All right, I'm okay. Now he gives us the logic why you should do this. For they are life unto thee, unto those that find them. Do you need a miracle? Do you need God to supernaturally do something in you that you could not do, or your children, or whatever? This is your answer. What does God say about my children? Jeremiah 16, that they shall come back to their boundaries. Isaiah 49, and he shall save your children. There's energy in that. They are life unto those that find them. They're not going to come floating down the stream to you. You got to dig for them. How many in here has got passages underlined perhaps in your Bible that they may not mean a thing to your neighbor, but one day or one evening or something, you read them and they just got a hold of you? Anybody? Sure. Attend unto my word. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? Because they are life unto those that find them. You search for them. What is God saying about this sickness? What does God say about this catastrophe? And they are health to all their flesh. Get the word in your heart. Your flesh starts getting better. Does that make sense? The word not in your heart, maybe the doctors can help you some. But the word in your heart is health. There's life in the word. Okay? Keep thine heart with all diligence. Pay attention to the thought patterns of your life. For out of it are the issues of life. Did you get the whole combine of things there? Amen? Let's go now to Psalm 103, verses 1 through 7. You know these. But I want to get the scriptures in our hearts where we can chew on them. This is not admonition. This is not just some exhorting. This is God saying, you want to get delivered, you want to get help, then here's what you do. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do you hear me? Bless him when you go in, bless him when you come out, bless him when you sit down, bless him when you rise up, bless him in the country, bless him in the town, bless him in your full basket, bless the Lord. We transpose that. We say, bless me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Bless me. And he said, whoa, you get the cart and the horse mixed up there. I didn't say I want to bless you. You bless me. You honor me. Because if you put me up front, I will take care of you. Has he took care of anybody? Put me up front. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's full energy. That's full force. That's not lip service. That's getting on with the program. Have you ever seen anybody animated by the power, by the unction of the Holy Ghost, just all over themselves? Now, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his what? Now, the next verse is going to give us a list of benefits. There are, you know, we in industry now hires people, and the applicants say, what benefits do we get? And they're talking about insurance and retirement and so forth. I can promise you there's benefits of serving God. They're okay now. We're going to list some of the benefits. who redeemeth, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Only God can do that. Who healeth all, somebody say all, thy diseases. That is God's word. There's life. He spoke the, those words are living right now like the word the day he spoke them. They've not diminished. Who healeth all thy diseases. Am I right? Cancer, whatever it is, he is the healer. Amen. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. You were headed the wrong way, but he pulled you back. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Listen now, I want this next verse to get into our spirit. The Lord is, he made known, verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. There's a difference. He pulled Moses into an inner sanctum. He pulled Moses into a place of privacy. And look, he said, he made known his ways. I know the acts of God. We can read about them. The Red Sea opens, the bitter water is healed, the rock gives water, and, you know, manna comes. Those are the acts. And all of Israel saw the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. See, if I know the ways of God, when something happens and that I don't understand, if I know the ways of God, it's going to unfold. Y'all not getting me. Okay. And his acts unto the children of Israel. Are y'all still with me? I'm not. If you're bored, you're bad off, because this is the word of God. John chapter 14 and verse number 6. You know it before we even turn to it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The rest of the verse is vital and important, but that what I just read is what we're going to hang our hat on tonight. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say I contain truth or he said I am truth. Do you get that? Okay. Chapter 1 and verse number 14 of St. John. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is truth. Okay? Chapter number 8 and verse number 32. And you shall know the truth. Now I want you to get the language of that next clause. We quote it sometimes in a maybe a slight way. And the truth shall make you free. I used it all my life growing up around the. The truth shall set you free. That's not what it says. It shall make you free. If I'm tied up with some bondage, if I'm addicted to some wrong thing, and I get touch with God, God can set me free, but he wants to make me free. You understand where I don't chase after that anymore. Okay? You shall know. Okay, 18 and verse number 30. Yeah. And this is my last verse, if I got my records right. Y'all excited? Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king of then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. May God add the blessings of heaven to the scripture tonight. And may we be receptive to the comments that's going to be made. Father, let us speak the oracles of God. Be confident in what we say. Say it for the glory.
Amen. The final word. The role of the Word of God is intended for the Word of God to be fulfilled. This is not a manual of courtesy. This is telling us how we can have our needs met. Do you believe that? We need to meet together on a regular, that's what church is about, on a regular basis. Go through the scripture, ponder them, discuss them, so that we can put truth in the heart of our people. So that our people can be rigorous, capable of withstanding the attacks of the enemy, that they can overcome. Proverbs chapter 4, keep the word in the midst of your heart, in the center of your heart. Put the word of God to work. Does that sound too blatant? You inhale the word of God. You bring it into your spirit. You keep it in the center of your heart. You water the word of God by prayer. You meditate upon the word of God. In your statutes do I meditate day and night. And while you are promoting the word of God, God blesses it and unctionizes it and says, do your work. The word of God will grow in your heart. It will expand in your very being. Amen. Am I talking to you? So it's not wrong for me, not in some cheap way, but through a dedicated life, it's not wrong for me to say, Lord, I want your word to work for me. Amen. If my words abide in you and you abide in my words, you shall ask what you will. Did he say it? I want, Lord, when I get down to pray, I want your word to work for me. Call upon me and I will. I want that to work for me. Behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard? I want that to work for me. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 26. I am the Lord God that healeth. I want that to work for me. And it's not going to work until I get intertwined in the scripture. Exodus chapter 26. I will put none of the diseases upon you that are put upon the Egyptians. I am the Lord thy healer. I want that to work. I want that to be a reality in my life. And this week has been a challenging week to me. And that's why I'm coming to you with this. I'm not going to lay down and roll over and play dead. That's not what we're about. And the only thing that will heal us is not emotions. It's the power of the Word of God working in our heart. The Word of God working in my life is greater than Parkinson working in my life. Now, there's a contest going on. There's a conflict going on in your life with whatever problem you have. But one of the other, either the Word of God is going to win the battle or whatever your problem is going to win the battle. I'm determined tonight that the Word of God is going to win this battle. Amen? And we've just got to believe. I cannot walk around with scriptures in my heart talking about how bad I feel. I must be elevated above the trivial. And am I talking to anybody? The scripture is loaded with admonitions to hear and heed. Give ear unto my sayings. Let the word of God enter into your heart. Let it enter into your being. Am I talking to you? May we remember to plant the word of God, to receive it, to plant it, to water it, to protect it. The watched word will be the working word. Amen. Does that make sense to you? The watched word. He watches over his word to perform it. I watch over his word to make sure it's at work in my life. The word of God needs to be activated. Needs to be stimulated. It needs to. I don't need to just say, well, I got the word of God in my heart. I need to actively stir the word of God up in me. Amen. Quote the word of God. Read the word of God. Exhort each other with the word of God. Even if you get the misquote on it, as long as you know what you mean, amen, hallelujah. how many are there that let the doctor's word be the final word? All of us have probably been guilty of that. You go with your medical problem and the doctor gives you his evaluation, and you got a serious problem, and he says, I'm sorry, but there's nothing that medicine can do. And we Pentecostal, evangelical, fundamental people that love God with all of our heart, and I believe we do, we walk out of that doctor's office deflated. Deflated. Amen? Because we believe the final word lies with the doctor. But you know what we need to learn, and this is a learning process. This is not something that you're not going to get this snap your finger and you're going to be elevated and you're going to know all these things. You have got to learn these things and put them into practice. All of us have to. That when the doctor gives us his final verdict, we can say, now I've heard your verdict, Dr. So-and-so, but now let me tell you what the final verdict is. The final verdict is in the scripture. And Jesus, with his stripes, we are healed. Am I right? And the doctor looks at us with sympathy and he kind of sympathetic. He said, well, you know, we trust that. No, we need to come out of those crisis moments saying we are going to put the word of God to work. Amen. Your family disaster, this counselor, the people that... The drug counselors for your children, well, they give you the final verdict. Life is filled with these final verdicts, and we just submit to them. We just yield to them. I want to tell you something right now. Cancer may not yield to radiation. It may not yield to chemotherapy. But if we will get the word of God in our heart in the midst of it and retain it, hold on to it. Don't turn loose of it. Don't give in on Monday and pick back up on. Be adamant in what you're doing. Be consistent in what you're doing. Testify of it. My God, tell what great things God has done. Call those things that are not as though they are. Hello? Let people hear you. Don't let them hear you planning your funeral. Don't let them hear you, I don't know what I'm going to do, going to the soup kitchen, get food stamps. No, God is the provider. Hello? Hallelujah to God. See, God, so therefore God has got the final word. And if the final word, if you've done everything you can do and you've put all the scriptures to practice and it's not been any better, don't let it throw you. Don't let it throw you, because if you, whatever you go through, God's final word to the three Hebrew children was, you go and tell the Pharaoh there that you don't know about all this stuff, but you know one thing, you're not going to bow. You're not going to burn. You're not going to bend. And they threw him in the furnace. You know the truth. You know the story of it. Men discuss and they debate and they get second opinions and they want to, what should I do about this? What should I do about it? I'm not telling you to do something foolish, irresponsible, but I'm telling you one thing. In the midst of your pursuit of deliverance, do not put God down in the cellar. In the pursuit of your deliverance, put God in the rafters, hang him high. Let God be absolutely number one in your life. If people ask you how you're doing, glorify God. Honor God. If you're hurting in your body, I'm not preaching heresy, but if you're aching in your body like I was Monday, my whole body was one mass of pain. But I'm not going to go around talking about, I can't handle it. Let me tell you something. Right? As long as there's breath in my body, there's a God that's on the throne that can turn things around. Amen. We're so used to responding natural to natural. It's natural that our bodies wear out. It's natural, whatever. But Caleb said, no, that's not a natural thing. Caleb said, I'm 85 years old. And I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago when I come in here. And I tell you what I want from my possession. I don't want messing in this lowland. See that mountain up there called Hebron? I want that. And Joshua said, you want it? Go get it. It's yours if you can handle it. I want what's at the top of the ladder. And God is saying, it's yours. You can have it. I give you the authority. But now you go after it. Well, now what does that mean? That means I got to fight the fight of faith. When my body is hurting, when the physical condition is whatever, I've still got to retain my balance. Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah to God. This is not cheap psychology. This is the truth of God. Hello? God gives us the final word. The final word, God utters the final word on sickness. And I told it to you. See, healing is not merely a part of God's nature. It is God's nature. I'm the Lord God that healeth thee. He didn't just say, I'm the Lord God that healeth. Hello? That would be wonderful if he said, I'm the Lord God that healeth. Then I would say, okay, I understand God is a healer. But he did not stop there, and there's no words inserted in the Bible by accident. He said, I'm the Lord God that healeth thee. Who is the thee? It's whoever's reading it and adhering to it. I'm the Lord God that healeth you, Mr. Reader. You read that. You got some problem with physical needs. Just pause a minute. Let me tell you. Let me identify myself to you. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. Hallelujah. Who healeth all thy diseases. We have to look. The devil has perched around our churches, built a nest around our people, plagued them with sickness and problems and perplexities and despair, and we've rolled over and taken it. Help me out, somebody. Somebody's got to come out of the corner with the boxing gloves on, so to speak, and say, enough is enough is enough. We buried too many people early. We've seen too many people in catastrophe. Somewhere down the line, we got to build a line of defense. And that line of defense is people that have got the testimony of God in their heart. Hallelujah. 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 Am I talking to anybody? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, we think, it takes no faith to discuss healing when you're not sick. You can give people advice. You can tell them, you can sit up on the perch of Mr. Know-It-All and say, here's how you do it. Here's the formula that you use. It don't take, but when you get down in your physical body, that's when you've got to say, whoa, wait a minute. I talked big talk when I was better, when I was well. I knew all about the formulas when I was well, but look at me now. What am I going to do now? You're going to put to act what you did when you told people while you were well. Hello, church. I will never forget in Washington County, there was a lady that had crippling arthritis in her hands. I mean, heard me tell this story. Her fingers and all, it was pitiful. I mean, it was affecting her whole health, her whole daily duties. And she went to the revival at the Pentecostal, at the Holiness Church. And just somebody prayed, no spectacular, no jumping up and down, spinning around. And her fingers popped out the way they should. She's glorifying God. She goes home, tells her children about it. God has done so. Monday morning, she cranks the washing machine up because that's what Blue Mondays are for. And she gets going to, you know, to get ready to hang the clothes out. And when she got the clothes pinned up, getting ready to pin it on the clothes, her fingers went right back in that bad situation. God's my witness. She testified to this, and I saw, she said, Han, I don't know what your problem is, but God healed me of arthritis last night. And her fingers popped back out. Now, you can't mess around if you're going to talk like that. Put your foot on it. Put resolve in it. Put determination in it. I fight this fight of faith. Where's our battleground at? Am I talking to you? Amen. It don't take faith when you're just, everything's going, your bills are paid and all that stuff. But you're not going to always be on that mountain. I'm not predicting doom and gloom, but that life is made up of some hills and valleys. And you're going to go in a valley at some point. It might not be physical or whatever. But take with you what you had on the mountaintop. Don't turn it loose. Don't leave it on the mountaintop. Take it down in the valley with you, so where the giants are. We got some, our giants are not 6'2", 220 pounds and all that. Our giants are mental thoughts and aggravations and frustrations and physical problems. And they are our giants. Nursing, Paul said he had a messenger of Satan. Wherever he went, you can make it out to be whatever it was. I don't know. It's not important to me. He did say I had a messenger of Satan that was tormenting me. And I prayed three times. You're going to have some kind of situation that is going to try to drain your attention. But don't let your physical problems, don't let your emotional problems, don't let your family problems get you distracted from your main goal, and that is honoring Jesus Christ. Amen. Sickness and disease and desperation would drive a person to action. Sickness and disease and desperation will make you do drastic things. It will make you do things that you would not have done. It'll make you lose your pride. It'll make you cast away your image of yourself. I mean, can I preach to you? You know, you get desperate enough and somebody says, if you'll crawl through that crowd and touch the hem of that man's garment, you'll get healed. When you're not desperate, you'll say you're an idiot. But when you get desperate enough and you think, well, if I get through that crowd, I might get bruised and beat up on. I might get hostile. But if you get through that crowd and you got a bad back or you got cancer, you got whatever, and you're desperate enough, you don't care what they say about you. Hello, church. You don't care if they mimic you. You don't care all the stuff that goes along with pride. All you care about, you got an ailment that's killing you. And you know that if you get through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment, hallelujah to God, that's all. Desperation did it. Hope did it. Something in her said, if I can but touch that garment. Human logic probably lashed back at her and said, they're going to think you're a fool. Don't worry about all that human logic. Don't worry about what people think. If you come up, if you've been prayed 49 times, and you haven't got your healing, come up the 50th time, because that might be the time that God heals you. God's not playing a game with you. He said, turn your faith loose. Am I talking to you? Oh, Jesus. I mean, she was desperate. Oh, Jesus, help me. She was dealing with facts. F-A-C-T-S. Facts is, I'm dying. I've spent my money to the doctor. I've done everything I know to do. I am dying. I don't even know whether I got another day or two left. Facts. But she heard that truth was coming down the highway. If I can just connect with truth. Am I talking to you? If I can just hook on the truth. There's a disciples, and there's the apostles, and there's the elders, and there's the Pharisees, and there's the Sadducees, and all, but none of them are truth. But somewhere in that shuffle, there is truth. And if you can connect the facts of your problem with the power of God, truth is bigger than facts. Hello? I mean, we depend upon, the doctor gives us facts. Well, you got 6 months to live. That, because he's a doctor and he's been to school, we accept it and we say, well, he's right. So we go get our business deals all taken care of. But he's giving you facts. And you let facts sway your mind. You let facts influence your decision. But if you'll come alone with God and say, whoa, I've been to the doctor and I got the facts. I understand that he's speaking the reality as he sees it. But I'm coming to truth. You said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I'm not messing around with any lesser things. If you speak, my physical being will be delivered. Because truth is greater than facts. You've heard me preach that through the years. The boat was on the Sea of Galilee. Are y'all with me? And it was in a storm, a ferocious storm. And they were afraid for their life. It was the fourth watch of the night. the darkest hour. And they don't know whether they're going to make it or not. Facts. Let's discuss the facts here. They probably we're in a windstorm. We're in a ferocious storm. Fact number one. We're halfway over here. Fact number, we don't know whether we're going to make it or not. We rode hard as we could. We've done everything we could to salvage ourselves. We've done all. And the fact is we're about to drown. That's the fact. But they see something. Glory to God. They see something coming. They see a shadow. It's a spirit. No, it's not a spirit. Who is that? He's got a name, they call him Jesus, but we call him truth. The fact said we might not make it to the other side. The fact said that we might drown, but truth is coming. He's walking on the water. Because facts say you can't walk on water. If you think you can walk on water, I'll meet you at the Pamlico River tomorrow. And I'll watch you. But I won't try it. But oh, Lord, is that you? Yes, it is. I'm in control here. And truth got in the boat. And when truth got in the boat, the wind stopped. When truth got in the boat, the waves quit. The storm ceased. Some of you here tonight, all you need to do is get truth in your boat. You've got facts in your boat. You know you're late on the house payment or whatever it is, anything. You're sick or you're afflicted or whatever. Brother Lloyd's friend, I don't know what the deal is and I don't know what it would take, but I'll tell you one thing. If we can get him introduced to truth. Oh, hallelujah. Hello, church. Sitting with a beggar's coat. Jesus comes into Jericho. He's never going to go through Jericho again, incidentally. And when he gets ready to leave Jericho, there's a blind man, Bartimaeus, seated by the roadside, begging. But he hears something. He understands facts. His life is dependent upon begging. Just whatever he gets out of people's pocket, that's his livelihood. He's got a coat on that identifies him as a blind person, as a beggar. He hears something coming down the road. Who is that? Jesus of Nazareth. He calls out with a loud voice, Jesus! See, you get desperate. Desperation will drive you. Desperation will destroy pride. Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And would you believe the disciples hanging around Jesus, hanging around truth? They had enough intelligence to know that he could handle a blind eye. But they try to quiet the man down. When a man comes in desperation, wants help for his soul or his body or something, we ought not to be trying to quiet him down. Don't bother the master. Jesus is saying, "If that's my whole mission. That's why I'm going through these streets and towns. I want people to bother me." It's no bother when you call upon Jesus. It's no bother when you prevail. Jesus stopped. Truth stopped. There's a cry that can stop Jesus, and it can happen tonight in this auditorium. Have you ever stopped Jesus with a cry? I know I have. Anybody here? You just put him. He put the brakes on. What is it, my child, that you need? What is it that you're after? Lord, I can't handle it anymore. Facts are, Lord God, I've tried this and I've tried that. I've tried other things, but it's not working. So I'm trying you, Lord, your truth. And I need some truth in my life. I need some liberating power in my life. He's not part of truth. He is truth. Hallelujah to God. Bring him to me. And they bring Bartimaeus to him. What? He threw his garment aside. When he got up intending, I don't need that coat anymore. That's a beggar's badge. I don't need that anymore. Take it and throw it away because truth has called me. Truth has called me. Hallelujah to God. And when truth calls you, you can throw the mess away. cast it aside. What do you want me to do? That I might receive my sight. He didn't say that I'm a, no messy words. I'm coming right. I'm in the presence of truth, and I'm not going to mess around with flowery words. I'm going to tell you right now what I want. I want some vision. I want my eyes. Jesus touched him and healed his eyes and went his way. Somebody said, what happened to you, Mr. Blind Bartimaeus? I met truth. I met truth. My diseased eyes met truth. What happened to you, old sinner? I met truth one day at an altar. Hello, church. Am I talking to you? You say he just goes to Jewish people, to certain people. He's not interested in Gentiles. You are wrong. Truth is an all the world truth. There's a Syrophoenician woman, a Greek woman, non-Jewish. She comes out of the coast of Cyrenia. And she gets up with Jesus, she calls him Master. She's a non-Jewish. She's a Greek woman. She don't care about culture. See, when you want something bad enough, you don't care whether you're going with the red men, black men, white men, whatever. You just want somebody in that crowd that knows. Shalabako shatalabakaya. There ought to be somebody in this building tonight. There ought to be every one of us in this building tonight, ambassadors of truth. We ought to be able to tell people, let me tell you about somebody that can handle your problem. Brag on God. Exalt God. Let the people hear that we are serving a big God, a mighty God. We sing about it, but why can't we testify of it? Somebody needs to pull in the driveway Sunday morning. They've dealt with the facts of life. Their home is busted up. Everything's bad and bleak, and they've just been mesmerized with facts, cold, hard facts. And they come to the house of God saying, I need some help. What kind of help do you need? I need some deliverance. Well, you're in the right place because you bring your facts in here, because we're going to turn truth loose on you in just a few minutes. And when truth and facts collide, I'll tell you who wins. Every time Jesus wins, the Syrophoenician woman, the non-Jewish woman. Do you hear what I'm saying? People say, well, if I was a Christian, been serving God for 22 and a half years, I could expect. You don't even have to be a Christian. He helped sinners out. I'm not advocating for you to, you know, do that, but he did help sinners out. Oh, God, help me. You don't earn this thing. You truth does not meet itself out by how many years you serve God. It's always perplexed people in the Pentecostal church. Somebody been seeking the baptism, seeking deliverance from tobacco, whatever, for 18 and a half years, and they still struggle. And somebody comes in off the street on a Friday night revival, gets saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, delivered from dope, and smoke, and whatever. And that makes people a little bit fuzzy in their thought pattern. I don't try to answer that. I don't know. Some were more receptive. It wasn't that they perhaps were more holy. It's just that when you connect with God, when you put the plug into the source, the light comes on. Am I talking to anybody? So Jesus touched the woman. My daughter is at home. She's demon-possessed. And truth spoke. Truth. This is truth. This is truth. Truth spoke. Your daughter is healed. The centurion come running. What time did it happen? At the seventh hour? 2,000 years ago, this Bible, this New Testament was compiled together. God spoke. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder. This word is still powerful tonight. Men have tried to abuse it. They've tried to riddle it down. They've tried to misquote it. They've tried to put it in extinction. But may I tell you tonight, it is still a bestseller. It may not be a best reader, but it's a bestseller. And I say thank God for that. It's the speaking. And then God authorized it. God authorizes it, sanctions it, ordains it, that mere human beings, male and female, scholars, students, whoever, can take this book in their hand that God breathed, that God spoke, and they can sit down with their friend or their neighbor and say, this is what God says about it. Well, let me look at it. What is that? Well, that is truth. Hello? There's some people that are different than the woman with the issue of blood that was so diligent. She just pressed through the crowd. And guess what happened? She got her answer met, her need met. But there's some people that have been so in such bad shape for so long that they don't even have any hope. I've seen people like that. They've been through church at the prayer lines. They've been through, but they just, their shoulders are slooped. Is that the word? What? Bent over. They don't have any hope. In John chapter 5, in the temple area, there was a pool called Bethesda. And there was a crowd of people, invalids, around the edge of that pool. You know the story. Jesus come walk, truth come walking up. 38 years, one of the people had been laying there. Invalid, paralyzed, unable to do anything for himself. You can see the deflated mindset. And Jesus, for whatever reason, Jesus was not sent for. He was not appealed to. He was not solicited. He walked to that pool and walked straight to that man. And struck up a conversation with him. Sir, and I'm going to put it in my word, would you like to be healed? Oh, Jesus. The man didn't say yes. The man didn't say, I'm thinking about it. He just said, I have no man. That when the waters are troubled, there's nobody to help me. I'm left alone. I'm just out there floundering for myself. Jesus is saying in so many words, you don't need a man. Truth is standing in your presence. Get up. Truth spoke. And when truth spoke, the cripple got up. Take up your bed and walk. You don't need that pallet anymore. You're not going to come back here. This is not going to be your dwelling place again. You're free. Hello? Well, what can truth do? We talked about the storm and all that. We're talking about the final word. What can truth do with the dead people? There's a woman. Are y'all going to give me just a... Is this all right? There's a woman carrying her son, 12-year-old son, to the grave. And standing by the roadside was Mr. Truth. Observing. The weepers were weeping. Everybody was in disarray. I mean, this is going to be her livelihood. They didn't have social security. If the boy is dead, then her income is, I mean, he's going to look out for her provisions. But they're on their way to the graveyard. And Jesus stopped the funeral. I'm going to tell you right now, he specializes in stopping. Some of you have carried your talents to the graveyard and buried them. Some of you carried your hopes to the graveyard and buried them. That God, the devil always tries to aim us to the graveyard. That's where dead things are. That's where dead people are. Jesus said, I'm stopping you before you get to the place of deadness. Shatalabakaya. The devil would pride himself to get all of us to take the remains of whatever we are, 77 years old. And the enemy of my soul would love for me to spend the last whatever months or years it is on my way to the graveyard. Get me to the graveyard. I don't mean the literal graveyard. I got two bags full. I've had three. I've already, last Friday, I carried one, drug one down the hallway. Hundreds of thousands of hours of study. I drug it down the hallway last Friday and got it to the trash barrel. I said, this for the trash man. I had to get it the rest of the way. There were literally in that bag, there were thousands of notes, whatever. Then I got two more bags in the office and I got a counter full. And I'm thinking, some of these young preachers around it, when, you know, I used to say young preachers when they were 21, 22, but they're not 20. But I was looking at them. See, last Friday I was frustrated. I was just tossing. I grew up a little bit from last Friday to this week, and I started sorting through them a little bit, and I said, that ain't so bad. I remember preaching that. Then I see one, oh, my God. Did I preach that? No, somebody slipped that one in on me. But the devil would love to get us, before we get to our goal, he'd love to have our funeral. Jesus stepped out of the crowd and touched, stop. That's what Jesus does. He stops the funeral that you're trying to bury, whatever it is you're trying to bury, that you're trying to throw in the towel. He stops that. He says, no, you're not going to give up. You don't have that luxury. I need you on the battlefield. I need you as a witness in the courthouse of public opinion. I need somebody that's courageous enough to speak up. I think about Brother Toole, a major. See, you military people, you don't know the value of that. He is a major in the United States Army. That is quite a milestone. If you would have told me when I was in boot camp that one day I'd be pastoring a major, I'd say, you got to be nuts. But he's a major. But he's a Christian. That's the first thing. He's a Christian. And God needs Christians in the military. He needs Christians in the plants and the factories. And he needs Christians in the church. Stop the funeral. Jesus touched the child. Spoke to him and boom, the funeral's over. Tears are given away to joy. And the woman that just 1 minute ago, she was just all to pieces. What does my future hold? And truth spoke. And tonight in this auditorium, truth could speak to somebody. You could walk out of this church a entirely different person than you came. It don't take God all day. Stop the funeral, and this boy gets up, and, you know, it's a wonderful thing. Somebody said, well, he hadn't been dead long. Well, let me just kind of carry you a little bit further. There was in Bethany, there was a graveyard, and there was a new corpse in that had just been buried 4 days earlier. Just been buried. You remember? Lazarus. The news comes to Jesus, your friend Lazarus is dead. Jesus, wait, you're not going to rush Jesus. Truth don't have to accelerate. Truth is not a speed demon just rushing back and forth. Truth is consistent, persistent, insistent, always. And Jesus waited 2 more days. He gets to the grave and he's 4 days. Where have you laid him? Truth is talking. The truth is in control. See, if it ever gets in your mind that God is truth, and if it ever gets in your mind that what God says is in control, I'm preaching to me. If it ever gets in your mind that God is in control and truth in you is going to bring a miracle to you, hello, don't let truth be fragmented. Don't let truth be splintered. Keep the whole truth. Hold on to it. And Lazarus is right there. He's in that. And where have you laid him? Truth is finding. Truth is saying, I need the issues. I need the details. I know that Jesus is God, and I know all that stuff. But Jesus is saying, for my sake and for your sake, I want the details. Tell me what your problem is. Don't say, Lord, I'm a wreck. What are you a wreck from? What's causing your wreck? What is affecting your life? What is going on in your personal life tonight that's distracting you from God Almighty? Then that's what you need to tell him about. I got a husband that's as mean as a rattlesnake, or I got children that won't be specific. Don't just throw out a blanket coverage. You know, get it absolutely detailed. Hello. They said, but Master, he stinks. Well, if truth can raise up somebody from the dead, he can fumigate the grave. Roll the stone away. Truth is getting ready to do something right now. Nobody reaching out, picking up, pulling. Nobody doing gymnastics. Nobody. They roll the stone away, and there's that corpse laying there, face bandaged up, all this stuff, grave clothes on him. And truth, hello? Truth. Let's move Jesus out of the picture right now and just say, truth stood there at that grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. And facts had to give away the truth. Fact, did Mary, Martha, the disciples, they're all leaning upon facts. The man's dead. Hey, Jesus, the man is dead, like D-E-A-D. See, they're dealing with facts. That's all they deal with is facts. Can I preach to you? You put that $100 in that tithing envelope, and facts scream out at you. You need it more in Kmart than you do at Walmart than you do in the church. You need it more. Facts, facts, facts. But truth says, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. Now, what are you going to do? Facts over here saying you got to have it to meet the bills. Truth over here says, if you give it right with honor, your bills will be paid. See, truth deals. Facts, Sunday morning, your body hurts, aches. The fire has gone out a little bit in your zeal. And facts say, it's bad weather out there, I'll just stay home. The truth says, you lazy scoundrel. Get your mess out of that bed. Get dressed. And hightail it over there at church and worship God. Facts say it's Wednesday night and not going to be. Yes, Wednesday night, but I don't think we wasted time. Facts, but truth says you're not going to hear people. You're not going to watch people. You're not going to rub elbows with people. You're going to where truth is. Isaramakoyanda. It might be more refined somewhere down the road. It might be more cultured somewhere down the road. But it might be, if it's truth, if it's coming out of my word, if it's through the rough lips of John the Baptist, or if it's through the smooth lips of Apostle Peter or Paul or whatever, as long as it's truth, unadulterated, undiluted truth, Lazarus, come forth. And I'm closing now. It was said, and this is stranger than anything I've given you. One day, truth, we have truth on earth through the principles of the Word of God. But in the economy of God, truth is seated. He's not frustrated. He's not wringing his hands. He's committed truth to us. His spirit is among us. And according to the scripture, truth is going to rise up. Woo! He can say to heaven's trumpeter, come here. He's going to get the compass point wherever it should be. I don't know. He will say to that trumpeter, if you've ever blew that trumpet, blow your horn, Gabriel. Because truth is going to speak. And they that have been in the grave are going to hear. And they that are alive and remain shall be called up together to meet. Facts say that can't happen. Truth says it is going to happen. It is going to happen. Would you stand with me tonight?